Oh, baby. It's basketball season. And welcome to the annual, not sure how many years annual now, but it's definitely annual. Williams and Bloom clone preseason podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. We are here today thanks to our good friends at Heartland Flags and Custom Flags, HeartlandFlags.com. When I was driving home from work earlier today, there's a farm just outside of Bondurant that I was driving by, and somebody was flying the W. And then I pulled into town. Somebody else was flying the W. These W Cup fans are hot, or these flags are hot. HeartlandFlags.com. They've got every like sports flag you can imagine. I'm actually on their website right now. They actually have local high school flags. Everything from that to NASCAR. I can go get me a Chase Elliott flag. They've got soccer flags, Olympic flags, NFL, everything you need. HeartlandFlags.com. A great idea for your Christmas shopping. Hey, Brent Bloom.
What's going on?
I enjoy doing these podcasts with you.
Best time of the year, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's phenomenal. There's a college basketball game every day now until April 2nd. College basketball gets everybody through winter. Although it hasn't been bad so far. Knock on wood.
Okay, so here's the deal. We like to be up front with all of you guys. We're recording this on Thursday night, the Thursday night before the season begins. We're going to keep this super generic for you guys so that we know that this isn't the ideal time to post the season preview podcast, but Bloom has been in Philadelphia. He's been protesting with those political people.
I did get caught up in that. Not by choice. I was driving around downtown Philly last night.
I had
a work event.
Driving around.
No, I had a work event there, and ran into these protesters. They slowed me down by a couple minutes, but it is what it is.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. thank you for your concern.
Yeah, I was really worried. So we're gonna keep it generic for this weekend's game. By the time you're listening to this, we'll also have a women's basketball preview season podcast, courtesy of Heartland Flags. So be sure to listen to that one as well. The men and the women both tip off on Friday. We're going to be, again, super generic. Iowa State's going to win both of those games, again, knocking on wood. So this is more of a generic deal. We will have a Big 12 season preview podcast, courtesy of Heartland Flags. Actually, I believe that's courtesy of A-Plus Lawn and Landscape. That will be coming up in December at some time. We're going to start with the men now. Bloom, what stands out to you entering the season?
That exhibition game, they were way better than I anticipated. And
can you really tell?
Yeah. I don't know normally if you can.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cohesion and confidence in that group, and they're going to score points. There's no doubt. They're going to score. And I just really like, Chris, the ability that they didn't have last year to bring three guys off the bench and have them interchangeable parts. Nick Babb did not play very well in that exhibition game, but you can see what he can bring to a team. He can play 20, 25 minutes pretty comfortably, and I'd be great with him out there. You saw Donovan Jackson in that Tyrus McGee-type role, but a little bit better defender on the ball than Tyrus was. And then bringing in a guy like Solomon Young, who played well. I don't think he'll have that many shots in the regular season. I think they were just toying around a little bit. But then I really like Daryl Bowie. Is it Bowie or Bowie?
It's Bowie.
Because I've heard both.
It's Bowie.
Okay, we're going to go with Bowie.
Prom told me it's Bowie.
Okay, we're going to go with that. But I liked what he can add to a team. You know, Holden's a starter and should be. Both him and Bowie aren't going to be 10, 12-point guys, but they don't need him to be. And I think 1 through 8, 9 if you include Young. Young will be that ninth guy, get some spot minutes. Jacoby Long is clearly not ready yet, and that's okay. They don't need him to be. But I think they can play those nine guys and really strong 1 through 9, which you can't say about an Iowa State team in a really, really long time. I mean, they have nine guys that they can comfortably play. Last year it was 7.5. I just think that what they can do.
And that's kind of being generous toward the end.
Right.
I mean,
because who it was, now you and I, drawing a blank. Came out, walk on. Came on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. What is that kid's name? Hold on. I can pull it up.
I
got my rosters.
They can play nine, and but the cool thing is about this roster, Bowie, Babb, Burton can all play 2, 3, 4.
Jordan Ashton.
Ashton, duh.
I didn't even have to look it up.
Holden looked really good on that switch in the man-to-man defense stuff. Defensively, they're going to be so much better this year just with their ability to switch. And we love George. We love Abdul Nader. And Jameel McKay had his moments. But I think 1 through 9, this team has a potential to just be solid everywhere. They don't have Monte Morris is the All-American. He's not probably going to be as productive as George was last year. But he doesn't have to be because he's got help. This team reminds me of a way better Corey Lucius Clyburn team with Tyrese McGee. I think it's that type of team, a lot of threes.
Could Donovan Jackson turn into Tyrese McGee?
Similar usage. I really do. He's going to come in not afraid to shoot.
Only play 10 minutes, but he might score 10 points.
Yeah, he'll shoot. I mean, he's not afraid to shoot. He's a good shooter. Yeah. He can shoot 40-45% pretty easily. That's what they need from him. But I just like how the pieces all fit together. This will be an Iowa State team that should guard better. They're going to play quicker. They're going to score. I'm excited. I'm excited to see these guys work. And you can tell there's a comfortability between them and the staff now, too,
yeah,
which it was a little bit piecemeal at the start of last season.
Very weird at the beginning of last year.
Yep.
Here's the thing that stands out to me that I think bizarrely hasn't been talked about enough. The two things. One, the five seniors who start, which is incredibly rare.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's incredibly rare in college basketball. And I know that Holden's a newcomer, but he's a fifth-year guy. And you've got another one coming off the bench in Bowie.
Those guys have seen everything.
Correct.
That's the key.
And generally what we've learned over the years of covering transfers, at least I have, and you talk to the coaches who are with these guys daily, is that they come here hungry. Not only because they know it's their last chance, and Merle Holden told me this on Media Day. He goes, man, I just want to do what I – he goes, I want to win because he's never been in an NCAA tournament. He's been close. And he wants to get paid. He wants to play basketball somehow at the next level. And he knows that being a rebounder and blocking shots is how he's going to do that. I have my questions. He averaged 5 rebounds of a game at La Tech. How is he going to transfer to the Big 12? We'll get to that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing that stands out to me about this team, though, is what do we know about college basketball? Guard play is the most important, correct?
No question.
You've got 3 senior guards who all can score. They all, 2 of the 3 are proven defenders. Naz can at times, and
sure.
I think he'll be better. I think he'll be way better off now. Naz was an all right defender there for a while, and then he was just very inconsistent back before he got hurt. And I think they can all do it now.
Monte should be better.
If Monte's not playing 40 minutes a game, he can be pretty good.
He had some pretty average lapses last year where he just didn't care.
I think a lot of it was the amount
Being
of time
tired.
He was playing.
I agree.
The biggest thing is the chemistry of these guys. It's just so rare to get that experienced of a backcourt with that amount of chemistry, that much. I don't even know if I'd say talent, but they all do certain things very well. They're just solid. And, man, I just don't think – not necessarily with Iowa State fans, but when I read the Big 12 projections, when I read national magazines, that's not mentioned enough. The first thing I'm reading is George Niang's gone, and that should be the guy's
was
playing
all American. Right.
Absolutely, there's no question. Yep. However, I'm not seeing enough of that. And I don't know. I think people who cover and watch this team closely that's something that we would point out that's being missed big time nationally.
And just look at who was successful in college basketball last year? Who won the national championship? Everybody think it's Villanova. Can you name Villanova's big guy last year?
No.
I mean, it was Achefu, who was okay. He was a 10-point a game guy.
Jay Wright.
But think about the guards they had. You know, Archidiakono and Hart and Booth and all these guards. Jenkins was their three. Was a big guy, but he shot the three. I mean, he was kind of their Deontay Burton type. Look at Oklahoma. Who was Oklahoma's big guy last year? They got to the Final Four. I mean, Spangler, who was okay, he wasn't great, and Latin was okay. In college basketball anymore, if you have a big guy, great, but you don't need one. You do not need one to be successful. And Iowa State can use that theory to their advantage. The way they can spread the floor, if they have Holden on the floor, he doesn't need to score. between Morris and Naz and Matt, and I think Burton, and I would like to discuss this a little bit more, I think Burton is primed to have a phenomenal season. Just phenomenal. I don't think he's getting the run he deserves. I mean, he was a newcomer of the year, right, in the Big 12 last year?
Correct.
Everybody's talking about Kansas's Carlton Bragg as a breakout guy for Kansas, and Bragg averaged like 4 points a game last year. Everyone's saying he's gonna be the next big star. What about Burton? If you think about Burton's numbers, he averaged 10 points and 4 rebounds, C-Dub, in 18 minutes a game. If you extrapolate that to 30 or 32 minutes, which is about average, which I think you can expect from Deontay, I think 29 to 32, somewhere in that range, if he's out of foul trouble.
You think he'll play 30 minutes a game?
I think he can. And if you do that, if you play 30.
I would challenge. That would be a great growth for him physically.
Can he play that many minutes? I'm not sure. But even – so last year –
Let's just say he plays 25.
Let me just do the math because I broke it down in my head earlier. If he plays 30, at last year's efficiency totals, if you extrapolate his 18 minutes to 32, you're looking at 17.5 points and 8.5 rebounds. And he wasn't a part of the offense at all last year.
No,
they just kind of threw him in there.
He was just like Niang light.
Yeah, and he has such a unique talent level that is going to be – fascinating to see how they utilize him. Even in that exhibition game, you can't get a lot of that, but they used him as a George/Royce White type. Nobody can guard him. He's got that Royce White ability where if he's matched up with a big, he'll just drive around him. If he's got a little guy on him, he'll just overpower him. You saw some of those, and at Sioux Falls, I know, they're basically you and me out there, but they want to know part of him, trying to guard him. He's like a combo of Royce White and Kenny Pratt from the old days. He's a fun guy to watch, and if he has his head on straight and is motivated as much as he was in that exhibition game, I don't think a 17.8 rebound season out of him is out of line. He could be a first-team All-Big 12 guy. I truly believe that, and he should be getting more press going into the season. He has such a great talent level to what he could be in this offense. Monte is the most important player. I think Deontay Burton's probably right behind him.
I think Burton is the X factor of the team where – like, I think you know with Monte, Naz, and Matt kind of what to expect. I think it's, you know, we could probably project their numbers for the season
pretty accurately. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Burton, he's like one of those volatile stocks. You know what I mean? Where it's like, man, this thing could really explode. And if it does, your whole portfolio is made. And I think that's where Iowa State basketball is with Deontay Burton, because if it's – you know, right now, the investors, the experts are pretty bullish on this guy. And I'll tell you this. Here's a couple stories for you. One, it's not a story. You've all seen it. Steve Prohm is just absolutely in love with Deontay Burton right now. It reminds me a lot of Abdul Nader last year, that type of a conversation.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Burton's potential is much greater than Nader's.
Yes.
From last year.
I would agree with that as well.
Because he can hang. I mean, he is – There's two guys that I would say in the last 15 years, I'll say, that when they have the ball, I think everybody stops and goes and just, you know, stops breathing for a second.
Royce?
It's Royce and Burton. He's got that ability where when he has the ball, you don't know what's going to happen. Some of that's good and bad because he was way inconsistent last year.
Correct.
And half the time he's throwing it off somebody's head
but
or taking an ill-advised shot.
When we look back at Deontay last year, we forget that he didn't even play the first half.
Right. So he's got this – non-conference portion, which he's going to dominate this non-conference, I have no question. And then we'll see how he carries it over against upper-tier talent in the Big 12. His talent level, though, is as good as pretty much anybody in the country. Now, that's not to say he's an NBA player because it's not an NBA-type talent. I mean, it's a overpowering in college, which nobody sees. I mean, he's a 6'4", 260-pound – what is he, like a – he's just kind of a hybrid guy.
Yeah. And he's just a versatile forward.
Yeah, he's unique, but he's – I'm just really excited to see him play a full season at Iowa State.
I had one of his teammates, who I'm not going to name, I ran into just randomly this summer, and we were just chatting. And I said, how are things going? And the teammate went out of his way to tell me about how Deontay Burton is just a totally different guy – and it's just been a breath of fresh air for everybody in the program. He's the first one in there. It sounds like he went to that NBA thing last year.
Right, because he declared.
He declared, mm-hmm. And we all remember that, and had a rude awakening. with what he was told. And this is one of those deals, you being an NBA guy, Brent, where that rule got a lot of flack last year because of all these guys declaring and stuff.
Sure.
This is one positive for it because the young man gets the feedback.
No
he
doubt.
Takes the feedback, and now we think Deonte Burton is due for a breakout year in his career.
And he now knows what he had to work on.
Yes.
So he's worked on his right hand a little bit more.
Which is different than if Steve Prohm tells you.
Correct, because you just think, you might think in the back of your head, oh, you know, coach is just preventing me from, because he wants me on the team. But now he has that knowledge of what he needs to do, but he's working on his right hand a little bit more. He's still going to be left-handed dominant. I thought his shot looked a little bit better. In the exhibition.
He looked trimmed down.
And he looked slimmer. He looked
trimmed down.
A lot more comfortable and under control. I mean, sometimes when Burton would get the ball last year, it was just a tornado to the basket. And it was either going to be a dunk, a turnover, or he's taking an ill-advised shot. Now, I mean, he had how many assists in that exhibition game? I mean, he's just,
8 assists.
Yeah, he's just he's a very skilled player. And I think that'll really show up this year. He's going to have a great season. He's going to be a perfect complement because we know what we're getting from Monte. He's an All-American. Matt and Naz are who they are, and they're each going to be 12 to 14 point scorers. Naz, I agree with you in your mailbag, which I thought was well done.
Thank you.
I encourage people to read that. I think Naz is probably the more aggressive player of anybody on that team and will take the most shots potentially. So he may be the leading scorer on Iowa State, but I think Monte's right there, and so is Deonte Burton.
Before we get to the non-con schedule that we're going to kind of break down here in our season preview, thanks to Heartland Flags, I want to just let everybody know that we're going to be doing these Facebook Live pregame shows for every game throughout the 2016-17 season. Usually it will be me. There are nights where I'm getting off of KXNO and I don't get to Hilton until right before tip. Those nights, Jared Stansbury will handle this. But the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, stepping up for these Facebook Live pregame shows 30 minutes before tip every game. Go and like our Cyclone Fanatic Facebook page. You can check that out. Join like the 17,000-18,000 folks who benefit from that on a daily basis. You want to do the schedule?
Yeah, let's take a look at that non-conference.
Let's roll through this. I don't think the first three games are going to be very competitive, Brent. It's the Savannah State team. I feel like we play Savannah State every year.
The question there is, does Iowa State get to 100? That's about it.
Savannah State, I think they will because Savannah State likes to run up and down
the
floor.
They do.
Savannah State, Mount St. Mary's, and the Citadel.
Mount St. Mary's, Mountaineers, they finished in the middle of the pack in their conference, not a threat. Citadel was 3-15 in their conference, not a threat. The first three games are essentially just tune-up games for this club.
170. Hold on, I've got my Athlon in front of me. We're just going to go through and tell you where these teams are picked in their leagues.
Mount St. Mary's, I believe, is in the Northeast Conference.
Isn't Savannah State in the SWAC? They're not in the SWAC?
No, they're in the other one.
What do you mean they're in the other
one?
Well,
there's the SWAC, and then there's the Southland? Is it the Southland?
Oh, the Southland. Who can forget?
Is it the Southland?
Southland looks like a conference, correct? They're not in the Southland. Damn it.
The Tigers. I know their nickname. They're the Tigers.
Well, let's be honest.
They're in the MEAC. No, the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern American Conference, with Coppin State and the crew. Anthony Hampton's in that league.
Didn't the Clones play Hampton, last year?
Nope. Iowa did.
Iowa did. There we go. I knew somebody played Hampton.
Iowa State hasn't played them since then, I don't think, and I'm happy for that. If I don't see them or UAB ever again in my life, I'm okay with it.
Did you see the USA Today bracketology matching Iowa State up with UAB?
Incredible.
I believe it's a 3-14 again. You know.
What do you think about the Missouri thing? The home and home in Missouri.
I love it.
See, I have a little bit of an issue with it.
I love it because, okay, what's your issue?
Well, my issue
and
is
then I'll rebut.
The arrogance that they showed leaving the Big 12. They win the championship in the Sprint Center, and all 15,000 of their fans are chanting SEC, SEC in the Big 12's house. That was extremely arrogant.
Well,
and Kansas refuses to play them for that because the way they left and essentially you know, good riddance to all the Big 12. Why engage with them again? I know their program's down, so it's a winnable game. I get it. It's drivable.
That's what I was going to say.
But I just don't know. Ass. Yeah, I know. Maybe that's part of it. And it's Columbia's okay place to go. I'm okay not ever seeing them again, Nebraska again. But I hold grudges.
You do hold grudges.
I don't like Norm Stewart.
Just so you know, Savannah State is picked fourth in the MEAC.
Okay. I mean, they're...
And what league is Mount St. Mary's in?
They're in the Northeastern Conference, I believe.
Jeez. Could we just schedule some teams that are all in the same conference?
This is okay. You got to get these games.
I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about having to flip the pages of this magazine. The Northeastern Conference featuring Mount St. Fourth.
That conference fourth. Is historically one of the worst, though.
So what about the Citadel?
They're in the...
They seem like they would be an independent.
No, they're not. They're in one of the Southeast ones.
I think they're really bad.
They're bad. They were 3-15 in their league last year. They're in the Southern Conference.
They're like one of the worst teams in all.
Yeah, they're bad. Division I college basketball. That won't be a challenge.
The Citadel is picked 10th in the Southern Conference. That's dead last.
10 teams in that conference.
Yeah, that's dead last. So, okay, let's just jump ahead to
the tournament.
Thanksgiving.
O-Town.
We'll be there.
That'd be fun.
You can flip up on when you're having
your turkey
Thanksgiving dinner. Bloom and I will be on the call. Bloom will be on the call. I'm just his trusty sidekick.
Can you believe they're letting us two Yahoos on the Cyclone Radio Network together for a tournament?
It's only because there's no other option. Let's be honest.
That's true.
Okay, so Indiana State.
Middle of the pack, Missouri Valley.
I'll give them a win there.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
clearly.
They return a couple players. I think three of their first top five are back.
Their coach is an Iowa guy.
Yeah, Greg Lansing.
Yep.
From Harlan, but not
Hawkeye 10 country over there.
That's a game Iowa State should be probably double digit favored in.
So that'll be a fun Thanksgiving morning.
That's a 11:30 Iowa time start.
So
right in the middle of people's. I think the Vikings play at the same time, don't they?
Yeah, I'm a mess at that point.
Well, they might be fighting for playoff respectability.
What a disaster. And then I got Prohm running his trap
about his Redskins?
With the Redskins this week.
Yeah.
He won't shut up about it. He's just talking all sorts of smack. So who do you think wins between Miami and Stanford? Miami would be the favorite in that game.
Yeah,
right?
But not by much. So they made the Sweet 16 last year, Miami.
Yep.
But they lost a bunch. I think they lost four of their five. Murphy's back for them. Rodriguez is gone. I remember him from K-State, who was their point guard. I still think they're better than Stanford. Stanford's a new head coach, slowly rebuilding. I would expect Miami to come out of there. That's going to be a good game.
That'll be a fun game.
Yeah,
is the old George Mason coach still at
Larinaga.
Miami?
Yeah, Jim Larinaga.
Jim Larinaga. I remember I thought that was like the most horrible hire of all time when Miami did that, and he did a good job with it.
He's recruited well.
Yeah.
They've got some players, and they've actually gotten some fans to go to those games. That was always the big mystery is how do you get fans to go to a Miami basketball game, but they've showed up. They had a great year last year, lost a bunch, but he's recruited well. That's going to be a competitive game, but I would think – Iowa State gets out of there into the final.
Which would likely be against Gonzaga,
correct? Correct.
Who else is in that tournament on the other side?
Florida, the Gators.
But where are they picked?
They're top four in the SEC, second year under Coach White.
I got you right here.
I think they're...
Yeah, they're picked third in the SEC. They are picked to be an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, they're going to be... They're probably in that 6-8 range for seeds. But Gonzaga, you're looking at a top 15 team for sure.
So that would be a really nice test.
That'd be a real nice test. That's two top 20 teams going at it in a final.
Do you have Iowa State unbeaten coming out of that tournament?
No, I think Gonzaga at that point. That's a pick 'em. I think Gonzaga's probably the favorite. Just for the sake of this podcast, I think Iowa State would probably, with their size, so they have Karnowski back,
who
sat out most of last year. They lose both Sabonis and the shooter, the transfer from Kentucky, he's gone. But they're pretty strong in the guard court, too. They get Nigel Williams-Goss, transfer from Washington, who's going to be a really good player.
He was the guy who everybody thought that Iowa State would get because of Otzelberger.
Correct.
Because Otzelberger recruited him to Washington, and then he transferred after Otzelberger left.
Correct. So they're they're going to be pretty strong. I would think that'll be a fun game, but I'll just give the edge to Gonzaga there.
And then after that, December 1st is a Thursday night ESPN game against Cincinnati. That will be a great atmosphere in Hilton Coliseum.
It's a late start, too.
Yeah, 8 o'clock start on a Thursday night. That's also that's the night that the Vikings and the Cowboys play on Thursday night. Awful timing.
They're just competing with that Vikings audience now.
Horrible scheduling by Micah Byers. Just kidding, Micah, if you're listening to this. He does listen to our podcast, by the way. He told me that. Cincinnati, that was a hell of a game last year. That was the
terrific
game. I feel like that was the game last year where everybody kind of became believers in Prohm.
Absolutely.
Where they're like, okay, this guy's...
We can do this now.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. Iowa State won the Florida tournament last year.
Yeah.
And they won the two games. I mean, it was just a two-game tournament. But they're coming off that. There's still some... You know, Jameel wasn't real happy after that, but... Nader hit the game-winning three.
Put a bookmark on the Jameel comment because I want to come back to that.
Nader hits that game-winning three against Cincinnati. I think that taught them they can close out games. That was big going the rest of the way.
By the way, the Athlon has Cincinnati picked second in the American and in the round of 32. So that's another tournament team that Iowa State will get to play.
Him and Mick Cronin are buddies.
They are buddies.
Murray.
Which is kind of weird.
Angry Mick Cronin.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that Prohm is like hanging around having cocktails with Mick Cronin, but they do.
He reminds Mick Cronin. Just Google him, everybody. He reminds me of, you remember the Austin Powers movies?
Yes.
Dr. Evil's son, Scott.
Yeah. Scotty?
Yeah. Mick Cronin reminds me of Scott.
Scotty?
Scotty. That's always bugged me about him.
Okay. That's pretty much it. I mean, we can talk
Iowa.
About Iowa. Eh. I mean, I think Iowa State will beat Iowa this year.
It's there. They won their
Yeah,
won
but
their last
I don't
time.
Think they're going to be very good.
Young. Yeah, I was just looking at their starting five, and it's
Drake,
a couple sophomores.
Drake, I mean, Jacques Lattie's gone. He's as good as gone.
I'm surprised he's still there. And their best player left to go to Mississippi?
Mississippi Valley State is next.
Nope.
They stink.
So that's it.
Thank God there's no New Year's Eve game this year. Praise
conference,
the Lord.
The conference starts before then.
Correct. So 30th. You know they would have stuck us with that if possible, but they didn't. I want to go back to the Jameel McKay. That's another reason why I'm so optimistic about this team. Because I don't think there's a Jameel or Halas Cook issue. That drug on forever. The Halas Cook thing. And you got his dad tweeting, bad-mouthing the coaches on Twitter during the game. I mean, it was toxic. And then the Jameel's thing, like, he kind of came around at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But it was a headache.
It was a
distraction.
Late. Absolutely.
I don't see a guy on this team being a distraction. Even going into last year, I mean, you heard rumblings about both of those guys. You worried about Nader because you'd seen it the year before.
Sure.
Like, you worried about Burton. You heard things before. I mean, Burton's really the only wild card just based – but he's going to play.
He has to play.
Yeah, and there's absolutely no reason at this point to think that he hasn't completely turned the corner. So, man, I just think the chemistry with this group is off the charts.
And it probably means they can play nine comfortably, and that'll keep some people happy. But even if you're Nick Babb's not the type that's going to gripe if he's not getting 20 minutes
because
a game.
Nick Babb knows next year it's on. Donovan Jackson knows next year it's on.
I know Babb didn't play well in the exhibition. I really like what he can bring to the table.
You love Nick Weiler Babb.
I just do. I think he can guard two through four. He can even guard some of the one. They're going to play some lineups now with him at the power forward spot. You could even have him and Burton there as the post, and it could work. That could be – I would love to see this lineup at some point in the non-conference of Monte, Donovan Jackson – Matt, and then Matt Ernaz, and then Burton and Babb. All five guys can shoot it.
I have a feeling you'll get to see that.
There's so much versatility there, and Burton and Babb are good enough rebounders that they can handle it.
Big 12 preseason poll, Kansas picked to win the league. No surprise there. They got 9 first-place votes. The other first-place vote goes to the Iowa State University. The Clones are picked 4th, though. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
The Big 12, I mean, you take West Virginia, Texas, Iowa State. To me, like, you could put them in any order.
Correct. And Longhorns have Shaka, and he's the name.
I would put Iowa State second.
Yeah. West Virginia, though, Huggins is like the Bill Snyder of the Big 12 basketball-wise. Like, they're just always there. Think about what he has, and he's got 10 dudes now that are really good. We thought they would fall off last year without Juwan Staten, and they were better. And he's got 7 of those guys back. They've added a couple pieces.
One thing I've come to appreciate with them is their home court advantage.
It's hard to win there.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And they have that style down to a T. Now, the officials can say all they want that they're going to officiate them. You know, they're going to be tougher on the hand checks and stuff and off the ball stuff. But once you get into that routine, there's a reason why their games take 2.5 hours. They have 11 guys they can play, so they can get those guys in foul trouble, and they turn it into a street fight. They know what they're doing.
Is it similar, too, to, like, you compared them to Bill Snyder? I've heard that a lot about that. Kansas State holds more than any other team in the country, but you can't call it every play.
Yeah. And they absolutely know what they're doing. It's frustrating as an Iowa State fan because Iowa State doesn't play that way. They're that, you know, movement. And
how do you view it as an official?
It's hard because you know they're fouling it, but you, at the same time, the voice in the back of your head saying, we can't have 55 foul free throws in this game. That sucks. So what do you do? It's easy to say as a fan, well, you got to call everything. Well, you get in the heat of that game, and what's a little handshake here and a grab there when you want flow and movement? It's very difficult, and they're miserable to officiate.
I once called a game down in Southwest Iowa that shot 61 free throws. Ugh. High school boys game. It was horrible.
I think Iowa State
horrible
is behind them on the calendar, I think, only one time this year.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. So you
praise Jesus.
Because the Iowa State games would be like 20 minutes in before you could see it.
Do you think Texas is ready to be one of those upper-tier teams in the Big 12?
I struggle with them. I mean, their young guys have to be really good. Roach was a nice player last year. But is a Jared Allen, who's their stud freshman center, you know, 6'11", 240, is he ready to be that guy? Think about Miles Turner, who's now had a pretty good start to his NBA career for the Pacers. But he wasn't very good as a freshman. I mean, it took him a little bit, and he wasn't quite developed. I think freshman big guys are harder to judge how they're going to grow compared to guards. He was very good for USA basketball this summer, so I think he'll come in and play. And they also have a shot clear and a couple other guys who provide some post depth. But I'm wait and see on Texas. They're one I want to see more than anybody of the Big 12 in the non-conference.
So, I mean, there's a ton of question marks there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then you got to put Iowa State ahead of Texas.
I would think so. I would say Texas's NBA upside, which a lot of these preseason rankings look at, like, okay,
yeah,
who are the best players, you know, that we can project here, is better than Iowa State's. But so many more questions there.
I go Kansas, Iowa State, West Virginia, Texas.
I'll flip West Virginia and Iowa State just because I know West Virginia is going to win ugly like they always do. And they've got dudes.
Rest of the league, my guy Scotty Drew. I mean, Baylor is Baylor is Baylor is Baylor is Baylor. You know what they're going to be.
They got a nice little guard, JUCO, coming in that's going to provide some problems for people.
Is he like the second coming of Pierre Jackson?
Yeah, that's what he is.
Or
seriously,
Kenny Cherry, that
no,
type of guy.
He's a more athletic type, like Pierre. But I don't know where they find him. They find these guys just in Idaho camping out, and Scott Drew finds them and hooks them up.
It's the
my gosh.
It's the Baptist.
Did you see? I guess he saw Stansbury again and said the same joke to him.
Shut up! Are you serious?
Yeah,
Jared didn't even tell me that.
He said, "Hey, you got any eligibility left, big guy?
Come on, get a new joke, Scott.
Come on, Scott. Come up with a new joke."
Jared covered the
– go sell another car.
Big 12 Media Days for us this year, and I was like – I gave him a tip as any good solid mentor would do. And I said, just hang out at Scott Drew's table. It's fantastic. I go, and if you have to leave your tape recorder there and then just go back and listen to it later.
Jared ended up buying 2 cars and some stocks from him.
What are you – I don't understand.
Because he's a car salesman. I mean that in the nicest way possible, a car salesman. He's very good, convincing. He's a good negotiator. Smooth operator.
It's hard to really be the Baylor guy these days, though.
Yeah, oh.
You know?
They got a – does the football affect their basketball?
I think so.
Maybe a little –
I think eventually,
a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, even in like – so in Brile's book,
right,
he wrote significantly about how the Heaven's Gate cult
– sure.
Like was really hard to recruit with all
that.
Because
that was the perception.
Well, my God, Art. Like, what did you just do to Baylor basketball with your the debacle of your – like, do you want to send your kid to Baylor right now? I wouldn't send my kid to Baylor right now.
I will give the basketball team credit. With all the crap that's going on with the football team, they've stayed out of it.
Absolutely.
Like, you haven't heard their guys mentioned at all.
No, but you can't tell me that this is
overlap. Yeah, to the outside
world. This is not good for the brand.
No, I agree, but I guess you can't give them props because that should be the standard, right? But still, at least he's kept them clean. Yeah. When there's been questions about not that part of Baylor basketball,
correct?
But some of the legality surrounding it.
It might be easier too, just because football is so worshipped down in Texas, and perhaps the whole basketball thing is not that big of a deal.
The Baylor guard that's going to be fantastic to watch. He's actually from Belgium, by way of a JUCO, Manu Lecomte.
Is he an NBA prospect?
No, he's a little guy, but he can shoot it.
Lon Kruger will have Oklahoma competitive. I don't know if they're a tournament team this year. We'll see. I'm interested at the bottom of the league with Brad Underwood.
They seem to like him right now down there.
Well, they should. And he, you know, a lot of people probably forgotten he was one of the finalists to get this job.
Right.
And he's a really good coach.
He just signed a good class. Not quite as good as Iowa State's, but it's pretty good.
Just got themselves another Bob Huggins, basically.
They're gonna be brutal to play against because they're gonna physical, hard nosed. And by the way, Juwan Evans is healthy. They're a sleeper. Now, if he can be good, Juwan Evans is a All American type talent, little guy, guard. But he was hurt most of last year, and then they've got some young dudes that they've recruited, and I'm not quite sure they're there yet, but. Phil Forte is still on that team.
Phil bleeping Forte.
He's still there. He's now a senior.
Is Keaton Page like still a grad assistant?
The Keaton Page and Phil Forte are the same guy.
My God. Texas Tech, Kansas State, and TC. Who's Texas? Oh, the guy from Iona.
No, from Little Rock.
Little Rock. Yeah, it was one of the teams we got last year.
Yep.
Kansas State with Bruce Weber.
This is his last year.
It's his last season. I can't believe he made it last year.
Bruce Weber farewell tour.
And then Jamie Dixon back to the Big 12.
Yeah. Man, this is
I like the coaches in the league.
It's a good group.
The only one who doesn't really get me going is that Little Rock guy.
Yeah.
Beard. I can't, like.
He's a Tech guy.
I know, but I look at, like, that hire, and it's not, like.
Who wants to go to
London? I understand. Sometimes it's more about fit than it is.
Correct.
Sexy.
And he's a JUCO.
They tried to go sexy with Tubby, and
they got to a tournament.
Yeah, okay. They were a 9 seed in the tournament, or a 10 seed.
They returned quite a bit. Like, I'm trying to get that Texas Tech. They seems like they've had some of those guys on that team forever. Just taking a look at that roster, people remember some of these names, but Justin Gray is still there. He's only a junior. The big dude, Odiase, is still there. Aaron Ross. Is still there. Zach Smith, who had a good year. So they've got four starters back for Tech. And they made the tournament. So, I mean, they're not an upper-tier Big 12 team.
Was that last year?
They made the tournament last year, didn't they?
Or is it 2 years
ago? I think they made the tournament last year.
Okay, yeah, I think you might be right.
So they're – I mean, this league's pretty good. TCU should be better, but we've been saying that for 4 years, and they haven't been. I don't know. Still, Iowa State should finish in the top three for sure.
Well, and before we let our listeners go, and we encourage them to listen to our women's basketball season preview podcast, courtesy of Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Do you have any other closing thoughts? I like Iowa State second in the Big 12. I'm going to put them in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament again.
Well,
that's my prediction.
The second year for Steve Prohm last year was a lot more of a transition than I'm guessing anybody anticipated. George Yang was a big help for smoothing that transition. Whenever something went wrong, it was easy to say, okay, George, just go do something, or go Monte, go make a play.
Yep.
But now you've noticed it. I mean, even your interview with Prohm a couple weeks ago at Media Day was phenomenal. It just shows the comfort level that he now has. He has a house here. He didn't have a house, until December last year?
Gateway Hotel.
I mean, the transition was pretty difficult, but now he's been here, he's comfortable. He's got his guys. He's got now his mentor in place. I think that's a little underrated story at Hobbs,
David
Coach
Hobbs, yep.
To help him. This is now his – I hate it. It's so cliche. It's his team. I mean, Of course it is. But there's a comfort level between everybody. And
he doesn't have to get asked about Fred.
No, and
Fred,
you know, Fred, it's – of course Fred's a part of Iowa State basketball. He always will be. But that now feels a couple years ago because it was. And so I'm anxious to see how this team can do. I think their pieces fit in really nicely. And if all goes well, this team, I think they can win as many games or more than last year's team.
It'll be fun.
Can't wait.
We'll see you guys at Hilton Coliseum. Thanks to Heartland Flags. Check out our women's preview podcast as well. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Cyclone Fanatic, of course. You should leave us like some comments and like it because that's how we get good ratings. iTunes is kind of jacked up. It doesn't really matter how many people are listening. It's more about how, like, if they're ranking you and if they may leave comments. So tell us how much you enjoy us. We would appreciate it.
Second.
Be gentle. Have a great weekend, and hope you enjoyed the podcast.